They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me today on The Commons is someone we haven't heard from for a long time, but he's always busy. Jan Bergman is president of Cyber Citizens for Justice down in Florida, ccfj.net, and he's prolific when it comes to sending out stories. So we're going to talk about some of these stories. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Sue.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it is. But, you know, time flies by when you're having fun.
Time, and congratulations. You are now a married man and probably busier than ever, or you will soon be. But I'm so glad. I am so glad that you are continuing to do this and sending out all of these emails. So what is going on in Florida? Arguably, Florida is probably one of the largest HOA states in the country, with more stories and more horror stories and more distress than probably any single other state. Do you agree with that?
Well, definitely. Don't forget, it's estimated that we have about 1.5 million condos and 2.5 million homes in homeowners associations. So that makes it minimum 6 million people of the Floridians live in some sort of community association.
So we're talking about these are people, the 1.5 and 2.5 million, they're people.
That are homes and units, so, and you figure that 1.8 people live in one home or unit, so you get to more than 6 million people living inside of community associations.
And they're all happy, 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 right?
Well, I get more than 100 emails a day, and all of them are very unhappy, I can assure you that much.
So what are they talking to you about? Why are they unhappy? What's the problem?
Well, this, we know since years the system is plainly not working. Whoever invented it, created a holy mess. You know, the people move there considering, oh, it protects my property values, which actually it does not. It does possibly most likely the opposite. You know, they think they live in peace and everything is taken care of, you know. They promote it as easy living. You know, most people realize after a while they had never as much trouble in their life than before they moved into a homeowners association. There is no oversight. You know, the newspapers here in Florida are in the moment filled with embezzlement, scams, money disappearing, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem is nobody really regulates these homeowners associations. People have nowhere to go. Each year, our esteemed legislators add some more sentences to the statutes, only to have nobody there to enforce them. You know, You want to file a record request lawsuit, you're out of $20,000, and after 2 years, you still don't have the records.
So why bother?
So what good is it? In the meanwhile, the records you wanted are long outdated and useless.
So why bother? Why go for them? Jan, when you're responsible for some of this stuff, you have an absolute right to those records?
Yes, you do. I mean, the statutes are very clear. They even tell you you get $500 if you don't get the records in a timely manner.
Oh, really? So
the only thing is there is nobody there to enforce it. So you have to hire an attorney. The other side stalls and stalls and stalls, and nothing happens. So it goes back and forward. There is no discovery. They don't want to. Then they come with stupid settlement things. No, you don't want to settle. You wanted the records in a timely manner as explained in the statutes. But this is the problem. Too many people make money by violating the law.
But
look, we have a pile of attorneys, of specialized attorneys, and they actually live happily ever after and with lots of money in their pockets because they even help boards to violate the laws.
Well, they actually encourage them to do that. They actually encourage them to do that. I'll take it one step further.
They sometimes even give them stupid advice.
Yes, false advice. They do. I've seen it. I've heard it.
Well, I've seen it. You know, I get the emails with the letters from the attorneys or the emails from the community association manager. You know, and it's ridiculous. You know, they tell them how to circumvent the law. And, you know, attorneys, so-called officers of the court, should do exactly the opposite. They should make sure that the law is upheld. That should be their job. But don't forget, this is the only country in the world where you have more attorneys than medical doctors. You know, and that tells you a lot.
That is one hell of a statistic. But the thing is, you know, these attorneys, there are a lot of really good attorneys. I mean, you and I both know some, and there are some good attorneys, but we also realize and know that there's some really bad attorneys, and the only way to deal with those is through the Bar Association, unfortunately, to get them disbarred. But they're all in bed together, Jan. They're all in bed together.
The bar is not doing very much.
No, they're not, because they're friends. They're buddies.
here's the issue. You know, the bar claims you can only file a complaint with them if you're a client of that attorney, right? Which is nonsense. Okay, but on the other hand, the owners who pay part of the bills for the attorneys are not considered clients, which is nonsense. You know, if I'm paying for the services of the attorney, I'm the client. Otherwise, why should I pay a dime?
So, but it's the association that's officially the client.
And
your money.
That is absolute nonsense.
It is. No, I totally agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. You are paying for it. You should have
a say. You know, it's kind of there are service providers, so-called service providers. You know, they're more or less under the umbrella of the Community Association Institute, which runs all over the nation and tells everybody how great living in homeowners association is. They come up with surveys where they ask their own members, you know that I could get a survey together where I have 1,000 people saying life in association is horrible. I only have to ask the right people. And if I know the answer before, I know exactly where my survey is going.
Yeah.
You know, and that is nonsense, but people fall for it and they believe it.
I think it's even more insidious than that, Jan. I think that a lot of the surveys that are conducted by CAI are scrubbed before you know about them. You don't get the actual survey. You get a summary. The actual survey is not available until quite a while after the summary. And
well, sure.
Doesn't...
And remember when the website of the CAI was still open, you know, and we could put our comments, and they had their weekly surveys, and 90% said horrible, and they quickly took it off, and so that nobody can comment on it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were flooded with comments and with bad examples of owners, what happened to them.
Yeah, they don't want to hear from the owners. They just want the owners to pay the bills, treat them like children. They're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. You just pay your assessments. If you don't, we'll come after you. If we don't like you, we'll fine you, and then we'll just put you in this death spiral, and we'll get you one way or the other. But do we want
correct.
To know?
And that's exactly it. For the people who are under the umbrella or are members of the CAI, the homeowners and condo owners are nothing but a cash cow, period, with no rights whatsoever. They have to pay, and that's it. As long as you pay, you're good. If you don't, we're going after you. That's the way it works in these associations. That's why I sometimes call them gulags.
So you're the client. I argue that the homeowners really and truly are the clients because they are the ones who are paying. And yet this is the only industry that mistreats its clients so badly. And there's not a damn thing the clients can do unless they stand up. But so many of them are a little bit afraid. You know, there's comfort and safety in numbers if people would just band together and say no.
Yeah, but see, people didn't move there in order to band together. Most of them, especially in Florida, the retirees, they moved there to live happily ever after.
You're right.
And live out their last days in life in some peace. And that's what they're not getting.
You're absolutely right, which is why if they just all stood up and said, all right, that's it, we've had enough, we're not doing this anymore, get out, they might...
You know how often I get, you know, thank you very much, you know, I've had it in Florida, I moved back where I came from, these people are nuts, and I don't waste my money and my time on this crap any longer. That's what they're telling me in emails.
It's no better anywhere else, Jan. It's the same industry that's manipulating the same.
Yes, but see, and I see here more or less anything that is new. You know, let's say the last built in the last 10 years is a community association.
Same here. It's
everything. In other states, you can still find places where there's no homeowners association.
You know what?
See, I moved 60 miles in order to move out of a homeowners association. And find a lot which is not in any way connected with a mandatory homeowners association.
You know, and I don't know how it is anywhere else, but I can tell you what it's like over here. The older houses, because they're built on larger lots, the county decides that that's a waste. It's not smart growth. That's a waste of land. So what they're doing is taxing them out of existence or just going in and rezoning and taking the property through eminent domain or through whatever means they can, nefarious means that they can. And they're tearing down the older houses that are not in an HOA and replacing them with crappy condos and townhouses all over the place because they can get more in there. So these cardboard and scotch tape constructions are called luxury. The prices soar, which means their value's higher, which means the tax dollars to the county is so much higher. And so even here, Jan, in any of the larger urban places, if there was much of a supply of non-HOA housing, it's rapidly disappearing. So the choice is gone. The choice is gone.
And you know, here's property tax is still determined by the actual sales value of the property.
Right.
So if you have an old house, even if it's on a 1-acre property, your property taxes most likely are just a few hundred bucks.
That's right.
If you find these lots.
That's right.
Because, you know, when you go to the beaches, it's full. They tear down the older buildings, they build up new,
That's right.
condos, you know.
Right.
And see, in reality, the idea isn't bad. And funny enough, it works, for example, in Germany, where you don't have an association. In Germany, you live in what you would call here a condo. The whole membership votes on every decision.
Right.
There is no board which can make dictatorial decisions. There is no board that can ignore the laws. You know, if then the condo needs a new roof, the manager, the hired manager, sends out to every member three bids and says, these are the bids for the roof, so please tell me you want A, B, or C. You know, then they count it and it's done. It's not the board decides what it is and they don't have to care if it's expensive or not expensive, and they can do it. You know, Florida is full of kickbacks. You know, they make money. I know a guy who was bankrupt. He became the president, and suddenly he goes on cruises, has a brand new Mercedes and everything. But he's retired, funny enough.
How did that happen?
And he lives off Social Security. So can you tell me how that works?
I don't know, but if you tell me, if you figure it out, let me know. I'm interested.
Yeah, right, but that's... Yeah, well, hey, look, kick back. You talk for Julio. You know, kickbacks are common. You know, Florida is the country of kickbacks. You know, it's amazing. You know, even if you run a business, you go to the board. You know what some board members will tell you? Well, if you give me 10% of what you get, you can have the contract. And even if you can prove it, there is nobody who does anything about it, funny enough.
I know. And you know, one thing I discovered on your web, you know, when I was doing some research for this show, there are so many articles and stories of embezzlement, both by board members and by management, and so many horror stories and so much childishness. So people keying other people's cars because they don't like them.
Yeah.
Jan, I mean, where do we go? Where do we go with this? Where does
you know,
stop?
We invested quite a lot of work and effort in 2013 to pass a bill that requires every association to have more or less a bond or an insurance for anybody who handles the association money, right? So in case there is embezzlement, the insurance pays and not the owner. Right? Because don't forget, they embezzle $500,000. Guess who repays it? The owners.
The owners, yeah.
So we passed the bill and thought, oh, this will really help, you know. So guess what? The board just ignore it and don't put these insurance in place or then save the money. And when one of them embezzles the money, then it's still the owners who pay because nobody enforces the laws. You know, the best law is useless with no enforcement.
But it's funny. I don't know about Florida, but it's funny. When I go home or drive around here, I see police officers hiding in the bushes with radar guns because they're enforcing.
But that makes money.
That makes money. That's right. That's, you answered my question. I was going to say, so why is it that we can enforce some laws and we just totally ignore others and we don't have money to enforce the laws?
When I got involved in it, we had a developer in St. Augustine who cheated us back and forward. You know, so I went to the, at that time, Attorney General in Tallahassee. And he said, well, we don't have it in the budget to go after these developers and things like that. I said, you know, that's typical government. You don't have the money. The thing is, if you're a business person, you would sue one developer and fine him $250,000. I said, with the $250,000, you would sue another five developers, and you would get five times $250,000. I said, and that's how you finance your... Sorry, I wanted to say a word which is not good on air.
No,
but
yeah.
That's how you finance these things, and you don't need money from a budget, and you don't need taxpayers' money for that, because these developers have the money to pay you and pay for your services and pay all your expenses and then some. Well, we can't do that. I said, that's the problem.
Why can't they do that? I mean, that makes perfectly good sense.
Because, don't forget, the Attorney General is an elected person, and the developers give him a lot of money. You know the word campaign funds? I call them bribes.
Special interests? Are we talking about special interests? So we see how special interests can really work against you and me, the small person, right?
Sure. It only does. See, in European countries, if you give an elected official campaign funds, you and the elected official who took the campaign funds will share a cell in jail. Here, they stand on the stage in front of the TV cameras, and special interest gives the politician a check for $500,000. You know, one of these big, huge checks for everybody to see? And that's considered totally normal.
So wait a minute. Are you telling me that in Europe, at least in Germany, that you don't have campaign contributions?
No. You don't.
So when you elect an official that they actually do not owe their allegiance to a special interest?
No, they don't.
And so why is it that it costs millions and billions of dollars to run a campaign in this country when you look at the amount of money that's wasted?
Look, this is what they call establishment, established politicians. They're there to make money. You know, very few of these establishment politicians are really there to serve the public. You know, the Brothers Grimm wrote better fairy tales than that.
I like the way you put some things here.
Yeah, but you know, the issue really is, you know, here they made business out of elections. And instead of having an election for a democracy, we have money business, and the politicians who will be elected to office are already obligated to serve certain special interests to finance their campaigns. That's it. You know, look, when you turn on the TV in the evening, all you see are stupid commercials, and I mean stupid. They make no sense. They are made for stupid people with a very low IQ, because I consider it an insult that I should believe some of the stuff they are telling me in these commercials. And, you know, they're always the same people wanting your vote, and you don't really have a choice. That is the issue. You only can vote either for a Democrat or for a Republican. In other European countries, you have 5, 6, 8 different parties, and it works. So if you don't like the one, you vote for the other. You know, here you can't. You can only vote for either a Democrat or a Republican, because your vote for an independent will go nowhere, because we all know an independent will not win anything.
So, but when you look at the Republican primaries, you started off with 18 people, arguably, you know, 17 people, arguably, we did vote, and we did whittle it down to one person. So when you get down to the finals, you know, you're down to two. But you're right. I mean, we do have four parties represented, but they're not going to, the other two are not going to win.
You know, look at the emails. You know what goes on behind the scenes.
Yes.
When you are out to elect the person you're supposed to represent your party.
Yes. I know.
Hey, look, what a joke.
I would love to do a political show. I have a lot to say about it, but right now we're going to go back to HOA issues because...
Let's go to landscaping because that is a very, very interesting deal.
I want to go to landscaping because,
yes. You
know, we talk a lot about the sameness and the boringness, and it's always the same kind of grass, the same height, the same color, the same, and it is boring. There's nothing to draw your eye. There's no interest there until someone comes along and does something. But that doesn't work, does it?
Well, no, sure it doesn't. You know, remember in 2007 we passed the laws regarding Florida-friendly landscaping, right?
Yes.
Big deal, you know, because we abuse our water resources. We put all kinds of bad chemicals in the ground that kind of destroys our drinking water, and so on and so on. So we had Florida-friendly landscaping. So, good. The problem is the legislators, in their infinite wisdom, had the University of Florida supervising this, right? But guess what? The University of Florida is more or less already bought and paid for by special interests.
Oh, God. Again?
The Florida turf growers, according to sources, let's say it's still rumors, but I believe it's right, gave $10 million to the University of Florida. And now the University of Florida, who are supposed to be the experts in court, refused to say which lawn and which turf is Florida-friendly. Because if they would say San Augustine grass is about as horrible as it gets, they wouldn't get any more funds from the Florida turf growers. You know? And we have seen homeowners moving out who relied on the law but realized that the law is just a joke. Because the people supposedly enforcing it don't care because they're bought and paid for by special interest.
Jan, when did we get to the point where we worry about what kind of flowers people have in their yards? And there are pictures here of this one story from Florida. Steve Glazer said it had the nicest yard in the neighborhood. But then the association came in, wouldn't allow him to remove the flowers that he planted. They came in and they had them removed, and it's just bland.
Right, and I mean, see, this is a problem. You know, you think when you buy your home and you pay your property taxes and you pay your mortgage and you pay everything, that you still have certain rights on your property. No, you don't. At the moment you buy into an HOA, you sell your rights. That's it. It's done, over with, no more. They tell you what to do, what flowers to plant, what grass to plant, what to do, how to do maintain it, you know, how many inches the grass can be high, all kinds of things. It's not... if it looks nice, it is no, the rules are such and such. And then, remember the article, you know, where it more or less destroyed the front yard of this person who was all proud that he had nice flowers and bushes like that?
Yeah.
You know, the attorney name or quoted in that article is one of the special interest attorneys. You know, the fun part is, he is married to a Florida House representative, right? And you know, the Florida House representative is working for, guess who? Morgan & Morgan, the biggest law firm around here. You know, and then wonder why all this is possible. Special interest runs the show, and that is how it works, period.
What a bloody mess. What an absolute and utter bloody mess that we
have. Right, and you know, but the problem is people, they want their peace. You know, they're not ready to fight all day with some, call them morons or whatever. You know, and the issue is, you know, they give up. In the end, they move out. Or they live there, shut their door, and hope that nobody will kick in their door.
I have
Is that a way to live?
I have a lady.
That's like in Russia.
I have a lady who calls me periodically. She was afraid of going to the door, answering the phone, getting her mail, going out, looking out. She just holed into her house and would not budge. She was absolutely terrified. That is no way to live. That is what we are reduced to in this country. That is a crying shame.
Right. But see, nobody really cares because it's all about money. The people don't care. And nobody cares about the people.
It's
as long as the money keeps rolling and the money is there to spend, everybody is happy, especially the politicians.
So the picture that you just painted with the attorney who's married to the politician who represents this law firm, and so there's special interests and they're all in bed together and they're all tied together and it just goes around and around in circles. But they're a relatively smaller group of people than all of the homeowners and the retirees and all of the people who are funding this mess. But they seem to live in absolute and utter fear, because all of these people that we're talking about are bullies of the umpteenth degree. They will go out.
And they have the money, and they're organized because they have a reason to be organized, which is money.
Right. And
homeowners just want to live, and they want to have their peace and leave me in peace, and they are not willing to organize or whatsoever, and that is why the minority can run the majority.
So I have never thought that there was any way we can fix this. I think it's a bad idea. It's a bad scheme. It's a concept that is just not going to go anywhere if it's going to be good for the people. And that's who I'm concerned about. Special interests need to be taken down a peg or two or 12. But how do we get to that point, Jan? Do you have any ideas?
Not really, because see, the only idea would be a revolution. Because see, you have the choice between to elect two legislators. You know, right? In my district, you have the choice between two House representatives, right? For example, okay.
Okay.
Now, you can either vote for the Republican or you vote for the Democrat. In reality, it doesn't change anything because they're both doing the same stuff.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, but I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about the thousands of people, the 6 million people that you estimate who are stuck in these stupid associations and who have to pay and foot the bill. Is there any way? The 6 million is a much far greater number than the politicians.
They estimate that in 2020, more than 50% of Florida's population will live in some kind of homeowners or in some kind of community association.
Don't call it a community. The only thing that's communal about these things is misery.
Well, I call it a gulag.
You call it a gulag, but there's the only thing that really that anybody has in common with these things, the people who live in there, is misery. Because
right,
if you're being targeted...
I always compare the system of homeowners associations with communism. You know, it looks good in writing, read the Red Bible, the ideas are great. But as soon as humans get involved, the whole thing goes down the drain. You know, and it turned into a real big mess, and we don't know how to fix it. And as long as people can embezzle money, take kickbacks, waste other people's money without any repercussion, nothing will change. That's it.
There's a, in this article, logic goes out the window when association trashes flowers. And this is from your website. I guess initially it was from, and where have I got it? Over here. Article courtesy of the TC Palm. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the last sentence in here, I think, is really good. And it says, with all the problems that we're having and we're going around about illegal wind chimes, bird baths, and flowers, I mean, what are we doing? That's just sheer and utter insanity.
You don't want to ask me because the way I think, I can't tell you on publicly on the radio.
You can't clean it up, huh?
No.
You can't clean it up.
No, because it's that bad. You know, any kind of clean language wouldn't fit the bill.
It wouldn't fit the bill. I mean, it is insanity. Who, with everything that's going on in the world, with all of the issues and all of the problems and all of the things we could be doing, spending our time on, spending our money on, this guy's right, illegal wind chimes, bird baths, flowers, is that what we're worried about? Is that what's up, you know, uppermost on our minds? Don't we see what's going on in the world? It's just... So, all right, so we've gone from illegal wind chimes and bird baths and heavens to Betsy, unapproved flowers, because we can't have that. That's going to bring down property values. We also have a big problem with sort of construction defects. That's big.
We always will, because don't forget, our laws allow developers to create companies, so-called LLCs, which have no money, no whatsoever, no values. They build a house, totally defect and whatsoever, and then if the owner sues the developer for delivering totally defective work, then they may win in court, but they can't collect because there's nothing there. Because the LLC goes bankrupt and that's it. You know, that is what actually allows developers to deliver shoddy work.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to the fact that you've got all of these citizens. And these citizens are paying taxes to admittedly special interests, also known as local municipal governments, who have a duty and a responsibility to their citizens.
On paper.
Well, legally, morally, ethically, any way you want to look at it, they do have a responsibility to their constituents. A developer goes in and says, okay, county, city, township, whatever it is, I have bought the following property and I want to build some townhouses. I want to build some single-family homes. I want to build a mixed-use development. I want to do all of that. They have to pay big money. They file the paperwork. The county takes their money and approves it. And off they go. But there's no inspections. There's no oversight. You have another story there about this city place. South towers, roof tiles are loose and they're falling off. And now there's a concern with another hurricane coming in that the tiles are just going to go become
flying. It's already on the way.
Flying objects. I know. The cost of the roof, and it's not the entire roof, because the roof is a flat roof, but it's just got a mansard, which means that it's got some tiles around, the sort of just some pretty stuff, but they don't even have screws in them, Jan. Nobody checked to make sure.
Remember Wilma?
Yes.
11 years ago?
Yes.
You know, when flying over southern Florida, all you saw were so-called blue roofs, you know?
Yeah.
The tarps used to cover up the damages were
right.
blue. And all you saw were blue roofs. And that tells you exactly what is going on. Because make no mistake, for example, in Germany, you have winter storms. And they go up to 100 miles an hour. And you know the damage you see in the newspaper the next day or two?
How much?
A few broken branches. They may have fallen on the car or something like that. But buildings are mostly the way they were before the storm.
So you mean
because
you're telling...
they're built accordingly. You know, how can you allow here in Florida to build mobile homes? You know, they fly away, and then the insurance pays, and we all pay for it, and they build the same mobile home again, waiting for the next hurricane to show up. It makes no sense.
It's
all about money. The government agencies allow developers to build defunct communities. You know, there was a case in Orlando where they allowed a developer to build subpar roofs on very small lots. The garages were not big enough. The driveways are tiny, small. So the people had to park on the street, which are subpar. So now the county wants to forbid parking on the street. So where are these people going with their cars? They allowed it in the first place.
That's true. That's the whole point, Jan. They allowed it in the first place. I mean, I go shopping in the newer shopping places. You know, getting in there, it's just everything is so tight. You can't squeeze into a parking space. You can't back out. Even the lanes, the traffic lanes, getting in and out of these shopping places. And I'm thinking, they allowed it. I mean, the county allowed it. They probably charged the developer a whopping great big sum of money to say, okay, we stamp your permit. Here you go. Have fun. Good luck.
Well, you know that they allow developers in homeowners associations to build subpar roads. These
yes.
roads would never be allowed to
yes.
be public roads.
Yes, yes. No, they've been doing that for years. They've absolutely
well,
been doing
you know,
that.
Well, up in Jacksonville Beach, a small homeowners association wanted to dissolve their homeowners association and they owned the roads. They wanted to give it to the county. You know what the county said? What? If you give us a $500,000 for us to build the roads in order to follow county ordinance and the rules, then we take over the roads. But otherwise, we don't. They gave them $500,000. Just to get rid of the homeowners association.
Well, I'm glad they managed. I hope they managed to do that.
They managed, and they did.
Because
it's actually not a poor community. So there were some nice houses. They just collected $500,000, gave it to the county, and told them to go to hell and take care of it. And they dissolved the homeowners association, and they live there now happily ever after.
You mean an association didn't protect their property values? An association
no.
didn't make
no.
it
and
all
they
that
wanted
wonderful.
Out of there, and they didn't want to deal with a homeowners association or Florida Statute 720. They wanted out, and they were willing to pay off the county, give them $500,000 to take over the road so they were able to dissolve the HOA, period.
So
that's how much money it is worth for owners to get rid of that stuff.
Well, going back to the City Place South Towers, it says that these roof tiles that were not nailed in, they were not screwed in, they're just kind of sitting there, they're slipping and they're sliding all over the place, and the cost of repairing that is a whopping $3.2 million. And the thing is, the building is only 6 years old, 8 years old.
Right.
And so for 420 units, I mean, they're looking at between $4,000 and $8,000 special assessments to build something that should have been built properly in the first place. And the local, I don't know if it's a city or a county or whatever it is, should have been watching over it. I mean, there's a moral obligation to do that, isn't there?
Well, they even send inspectors out who give, you know, the permit to live in there because it's all done according to the rules and regulations. You know, we had cases here where these inspectors signed off without even looking at the property. And all that happens in the end is they retire early. You know, but the owners are stuck with a totally faulty, shoddy building. And nobody knows how to pay for it. And if you sue them, it takes you years and years and years and years. And most likely, even if you win and you're trying to collect, there's nothing there to collect because the company who built officially this building is already no longer in existence or declares quickly bankruptcy or whatsoever.
It used to
there's
be...
There's no safety.
There is none. There's no safety net there at all. But it used to be that if you sued the developer and you managed to get... and you got the money, that the attorney would take half of it. So people were still left holding the bag, even when you did get the money, even when the courts found in favor of the owners and ordered the developer to pay up. The association attorney got half of it. And in the case of millions of dollars, they're walking away with half of that. What is wrong? There's something wrong with all of this, Jan. Help me understand it.
I don't know. Most likely you don't really know that. But the Florida legislature passed a few years back a law taking away any kind of liability from developers for shoddy work.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. So even you couldn't even sue them.
So wait a minute. So you've got all these retirees moving in. Granted, some of them have a lot of money. But a lot of them are going to be coming in to get away from the cold, to get away from having to shovel snow and dig their way out of ice and sit in the dark because the electricity's gone out and all of that. And they're living in the cardboard boxes for all intents and purposes and on a fixed income, and they can't hold the developer liable for a shoddy workmanship?
Yeah, well, that's Florida. That's why you spell Florida with D-U-H at the end and not with D-A.
Florida.
Yep.
So what other wonderful things are going on in Florida? To let people know, I have a friend who just moved down there. I said, oh, you don't want to do that. He says, oh, yeah.
But people don't want to listen, and they don't believe you. You get... wow, we are in America. Things like that can't happen. That's what you hear.
No, you know what I hear, Jan?
Be careful.
You know what I hear? It's, well, if I run into trouble, I'll call you. I go, thank you.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to help you?
And I mean, you see, with the laws in place, what is the best attorney going to do? Even if you hire a good one and you find a good one, you know, it costs a hell of a lot of money because, you know, you see, this is what people don't understand. Developers are smart. That's why they are developers, right? So they build some shoddy community with all kinds of problems, from starting with irrigation and subpar roads and you name it. Okay, then they see that when they turn it over to the homeowners, that they get a developer-friendly board in place, and they cheat and lie and do all kinds of things, often with the help of the CAM, you know, and then this board will, for 2 or 3 years, not do anything going after the developer, and when the owners finally wake up and vote in the board willing to do that, the term of limitation is up. That's how it works. And most likely the first board lives happily ever after because they got some nice kickbacks.
Wow.
Wow. Yes. We have seen it.
Wow.
You know, and I mean, the fun part is, you know, I always say, look, you know, we had a developer here who embezzled the money, got arrested twice for embezzling the money from the association, and then paid his bail from association funds.
And was allowed to live another day, huh?
Well, he will go on trial at the end of October. But that is many, many years ago. And some people had to sell because they couldn't afford all the special assessment and all the stuff that happened in the community.
How
you
many?
Know, but, I mean, imagine the gall to embezzle the money, get arrested for embezzling the money, then takes the money out of the association fund to get to pay the bail to get out of jail. That's it. That is Florida.
That is Florida.
Yes.
How much? Okay, I know that there's been a lot of stories about embezzlement across the country. How big a problem is it in Florida, and do you have any idea how much of an impact it has on properties, on associations?
I call it a million-dollar industry, because you wouldn't believe how much money is really embezzled, stolen, or just taken. You know, the problem is, even if you prove it, if you have the proof, the written proof, that, let's say, your president embezzled $200,000, right?
Right.
You go to the authorities. You know what many of the authorities will tell you? It's a civil matter.
Yeah.
It's a contract matter.
Yeah.
You signed agreed. Up for it.
You agreed to that, didn't you?
Yeah.
You agreed, yeah.
That's what they tell you.
They've all been drinking from the same water fountain, because that's what they're saying across the country. It's like, oh, you agreed to that. Are they totally stupid? Who agrees to that?
Yeah, well, that means when the bank opens the door, they agree that a robber comes running in because they opened the door.
But that's the same type of thinking, isn't it, Jan? You're right.
Yeah, that's the way life works, obviously, in their minds.
So have you got any ideas of, have you got any legislation planned for this year? Do you have any legislators that you're working with?
Yes, we do. And we hope finally to get some real enforcement going.
How about just
you
banning HOAs?
See, how good is it if we pass all kinds of laws and nobody cares what the laws say?
I know.
And nobody enforces them and nobody even reads them.
Yeah, that's
and then we have attorneys who tell the boards how to circumvent these laws.
Well, they lie about them. They give them the absolute opposite. I've heard that. If it says you can do that or you must do that, they'll say you cannot do that. And I go, wait a minute, that's not what it says at all.
Options you can avoid, and if you do it this way, you know, you beat the law, and you know, we can always interpret the law, because what people forget is the fact that an attorney sells his opinion, and that is all he sells, you know. And if his opinion wasn't good enough, you're tough luck, you're out of luck, you know, because you lose, because you will pay, and the attorney will still get paid.
That's true. That's very, very true.
But that is what many people don't understand.
Jan, you're going to obviously be working with legislators, and you're going to be sort of coming up with legislation that's going to provide some teeth, hopefully, in Florida.
Hopefully, yes.
Will you come back when you've got that and tell us about it?
Yes, hopefully I will. And if all goes well, maybe with some percentage of success. But something needs to be done, because the people who moved in good faith into these associations need to get their lives back. And their lives only come back if something is really done to rein in these gulags.
Yeah, and thank you so very much for joining us. And I hope to talk to you again soon.
You take care, and thanks for having me.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.